This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Sheeran, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. DC Waste and Recycling. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome back from vacation, my friend.
Thank you.
Have a good time?
I did have a good time.
You survived the roller coasters.
Survived the roller coasters. A lot of fun. It was supposed to rain, and I don't think it rained at all while we were down there. So
went to Branson.
It was hot. Went to Branson. Went
Silver
to Silver Dollar City.
Yes.
It was a good time. Got some great food. So, yeah. I am alive,
that's
obviously. So
clearly, you are.
I did survive the roller coaster.
You're not a roller coaster guy. You were a little nervous.
I was very nervous, yeah. Had to psych myself up by watching YouTube videos. So, but I got through it, and boy, they were pretty fun. So,
yeah. When your wife and small boys are into it, you really have no choice but to get on that roller coaster and deal with it.
Well, they've got this new kind of fun park in Branson. It's kind of like this pop-up carnival that's just there. It's recently built, but I think it's going to be there year round. Which they've got some kiddie roller coasters on there, and I forced Lincoln onto one of them, and I think he had a good time. He didn't want to go on it at first, but
yeah.
I made him ride it anyway. I think he ended up enjoying himself.
We're good, yeah. Glad you guys had a good time.
Oh yeah.
Hey, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to Rob Corso. Litchfield will be having a Fellowship of Christian Athletes sports camp. It'll be a free sports camp next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It'll be at Litchfield Middle School, so we'll talk to Rob Corso about that coming up. We're going to start the program today with potential changes to how football is handled in the state of Illinois. Now, there have been rumblings that the IHSA might consider going to districts for the high school football. Now, just like in college over the last few years, Illinois has seen teams really jumping conferences just for football purposes. Now, obviously, currently conference champions are guaranteed a playoff spot. If the districts go through, it will not be an IHSA decision, but rather a decision made by the member schools. RFD's Jim Taylor has more.
The issue will be discussed during town hall meetings in the fall with a potential vote by member schools to follow, says IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson.
If that's the direction of our membership to have us district, we'll do our best at it. But you're right, it's going to create a lot of discussion leading into and during that town meeting process. So as we've had discussion for years about football and conference jumping, I think generally, at least our football advisory committee, who is the group that kind of decided to bring this forward, with all that conference jumping happening, I think there's more support than there has been in the past, in my opinion, about this districting piece. So we don't control it here at IHSA. As you noted, going to be a member-driven decision. And we'll just have to wait and see where that ends up.
The proposal is being put forth by the IHSA Football Advisory Committee. I'm Jim Taylor.
And the Advisory Committee, at their April meeting, they had sent out a survey to the member schools. They do this from time to time to kind of gauge interest before they make a policy decision. They got a very good response. They sent out 560 surveys to member schools. They got 424 of them back. So that's a 76% response rate. And they didn't get a clear-cut answer to which way they wanted to go, but they gave several options in the survey, and the options were to keep the current 32-team playoff bracket. They also provided a 40-team bracket option along with a 56-team and a 64-team playoff option. Now, what they found was that the member schools would prefer to keep the current 32-team playoff bracket. And, David, the 32-team playoff bracket, it works beautifully. So they don't really necessarily want to change that, and that seems to be the feedback they got in that regard. Keep the playoff bracket the same as it is.
Right, because they'd been tinkering with this a couple of years, trying to change the playoffs around, but now they're going to keep the 32-team bracket, as you said, and just shift the districts, which would essentially eliminate conferences when it comes to football.
It would eliminate that, and it would get rid of the playoff point. So When they got these surveys back, the Football Advisory Committee started to come up with a scheduling option that would assign schools to either an 8-team or a 9-team district. Now, these districts would be based on enrollment and geography. They would stay the same for 2 years, and then every 2 years, they would reassess and then realign based on changing enrollments of the football school. So there would be 8 districts in each class. The district standings would determine which teams qualified for the playoffs. The top 4 teams in each of the 8 districts would then make the 32-team playoff. And with the playoffs, as I understand it, would essentially then be the same. There would be no change to the playoff system. The playoff system is a great thing, but how teams have been getting to the playoffs has been what has, I guess, arose some of the concerns as of late with teams jumping conferences and all that. So there would be no more conferences for football. Teams would still play a 9-game schedule, and they would have flexibility to schedule one non-district game if they were in a 9-team district, and if they were in an 8-team district, they would be able to schedule 2 non-district games. And what I like here is non-district games would not be a factor in playoff qualification. So say you knew you had an elite team. Mm-hmm. You could go up, schedule a bigger school, and not have to worry about that potential loss affecting your playoff standing. I think that is a very good idea.
In some cases, it might be tough, too, because some teams might not want to, some of the bigger schools like might not want to schedule the smaller schools to play them.
Well, the bigger schools don't like to run the risk of losing to a smaller school. It never looks good.
Right.
But I think my favorite thing that would come out of the districts is schools would know the entire year what class they would be in. Because that's always the weird thing with the current system is you never know if you're going to go, like for the schools that we cover, they could go 2A, they might go 3A. We've seen Greenville get bumped up to 4A in different years. So if this proposal went through, every team in the state would know, okay, if we make the playoffs, this is the class we're going to be in.
No, that's exactly right. I'm intrigued, to say the least, by this. I think it's a very interesting proposal. It said it got a 76% response rate. I'd like to see how much of that was favorable. You know, how many people were in support of that or how many schools were in support of that. I would like to see it go through because I would like to see it work out and see how it fit. Because I'm really intrigued by how our area districts, what it would be called then, would align. Because I think the South Central, and this is just pure speculation, I think the South Central would be largely unaffected. Obviously, it's going to have some effect because they're a 10-team league right now. At least 2 teams are going to get kicked out of that, maybe 3. But I think largely most of those teams will end up staying in the same district. The Sangamo Conference probably is the same way with 1 or 2 exceptions. The Prairie State, however, I think is going to get blown up.
Well, that's the league that has seen the most turnover over the last 3 to 5 years, you know, with Marquette coming in, Bunker Hill's in there now, you know. So, yeah, that league would probably change a great deal.
It covers such a wide area geographically and from an enrollment perspective. I mean East Alton Wood River and Alton Marquette are both in like the 500 or 600 kid range in terms of enrollment, where most of the conference is down in like 100 to 300 kids. And then you've also got the fact that you've got, you know, East Alton Wood River, Alton Marquette, and DuPo in the Prairie State.
Of course.
Along with, you know, Nokomis and South Fork and all these northern schools. So.
And the geography and the enrollment would be the 2 main factors for the districts, which when I first heard about this, I wasn't a fan of it because when it gets down to it, I'm a traditionalist. I don't like things to change. I like it the way that it is. Like, just no matter what I'm talking about, I like it the way that things are as a general rule. Like, if the Thanksgiving menu changes, I'm not happy.
You're getting old, Tim.
I need 3 years notification if we're going to have different items on Thanksgiving. That's just the way that I operate.
Yeah.
But seeing some of these details, I think this is a good idea. Now, it would affect nothing for all the other sports. Those would still be able to retain their their standard conference alignments like they are for basketball, baseball, volleyball, those types
of things.
Well, we're talking just football here.
It would probably realign a lot of those conferences. Like, I'm not sure Moroa Forsyth would stay in the Sangamo Conference.
Well, yeah, because they got in there primarily for football.
Yeah, and they are, I mean, geographically, they are out there.
Right.
So I would have to think they would realign from that perspective.
So just... This is all available at IHSA.org, too, by the way. If you go to the football page and click on the advisory committee, you can see the printout and the readout from the meeting that they had back in the middle part of April. So say that the 32-team playoff bracket goes through, and that's what we wind up with the districts. This would be just an example of what would happen. The top team from District A would face the fourth team from District D. The second team from District B would face the third team from District C. So that is what you'd be looking at once you get to the playoffs. But as I see it, the playoffs, which the football playoffs are outstanding. The way that they get structured and done, it's just beautifully done by the IHSA. It would not change that. You would still have the same type of playoff format that we have currently, but it would just be different how you get there. And I really like the idea of the non-district games not factoring into the playoff qualification. So that is going to encourage teams like Carlinville. You know Carlinville is going to be good year in, year out. So they would have the ability to go schedule up a game. Because right now the South Central is a closed conference, so you're locked in to playing those conference schools. But Carlinville would benefit greatly by being able to step out of league and go play a bigger school, or even if it's a school of, you know, that would be in the quote-unquote, I guess, same class for the playoffs, they could get a feel for a different type of competition. I think that would be a great benefit.
Or you might see like a Carlinville-North Mac regular season game if right. They're not in the same district.
Exactly right. I mean, yeah. there's a lot of different possibilities, a lot of different ways that it could go. Now, the vote is going to, I guess, come in November. It's going to come down, as you heard in the audio cut, to member schools. This will not be a decision that is made by the IHSA. And, you know, the IHSA gets a lot of blame for a lot of different things because, you know, they're the top dog. But the way that they usually operate is they let their member schools decide what direction they want to go. So it's going to come down to the schools in the IHSA making this decision whether they want to change and go to the districts. After seeing what they've come up with here, I like it.
I like it, too.
I like it.
Like I said, I like it for selfish reasons. I'd like to see it go through, but, you know, it really doesn't affect me, and I have no say in the matter, so.
And it will be different, you know. Yeah. It would be weird to not have conferences, but other states already have done this, you know. Mm-hmm. They have districts, so it's not some sort of radical proposal that no one is doing. It's being done in other states, and the IHSA is now looking at it, and they're going to allow their member schools to decide. But the best thing that I like, and I think would be liked by every football coach in the state, is you're going to know what class you're in. You don't have to wait until the road to Champaign or the road to DeKalb to figure out what class you're going in for the postseason.
Sure. No, I completely agree.
So stay tuned for that. We'll see. This would obviously, this year's football season is going to be the same as it's always been. Nothing's going to change for this year. We're still going to have our conferences. We're still going to have our playoff points. But moving forward, who knows? We might wind up with districts for high school football.
No, that's exactly right.
And, you know, I didn't count it down, but Football Friday's not that far away. Last Friday in August,
couple, I think. Months.
Yeah.
A couple months. Probably a couple months from the 29th, I would assume.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, it will.
We're going to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to make contact with Rob Corso. He, of course, is the Litchfield girls basketball coach. They're going to have a Fellowship of Christian Athletes free sports camp next week at Litchfield Middle School. We'll talk to Rob Corso about that when Sports Saturday returns. And we're back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll have Cardinal baseball for you this afternoon. From Milwaukee, live coverage today begins at 2:15 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The Redbirds have dropped the first two of the four-game set. It was disaster in the first game, heartbreak in the second game, as Jack Flaherty had a no-hit bid into the seventh inning before they lost on a walk-off homer in the ninth inning. We'll get into the Cardinals here later on Sports Saturday. But right now, we're happy to be joined by Rob Corso on the phone. Good morning, Rob.
Morning. How are we doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing very well, and you guys have a big week coming up starting on Monday, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Free Sports Camp for 5th through 8th graders. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes sponsors sports camps. They call them power camps, and this will be our third year of having it here at Litchfield. It's for, like you mentioned, it was 5th through 8th graders, and they can choose from a variety of sports. And they do two sessions, and then we have what's called a huddle, which we are able to share our Christian faith with the youngsters.
And that is such an important part of it, obviously, to make sure that young people are getting the right type of life lessons moving forward.
Yes, and it kind of ties in with the proactive coaching thing that we try and do at Litchfield, but a lot of the different schools are buying into that right now. The coaches have such an impact on the students. It's hard to imagine, really, the teachers and coaches have a tremendous amount of impact, and we want to portray that in a very positive way. So it gives us a great opportunity to do this.
And, Rob, especially as a basketball coach, it's the longest season. It spans both semesters. So over the course of a basketball season, you spend a lot of time with the kids, and kids are always watching, so they see how you're acting.
They do, and as I've gotten matured in my, you know, gotten better at what I do, I focus more on that. When there's a controversial call, when things aren't going your way, they do look at you and how you act. And it's really important that you provide a good role model for those youngsters, because they're gonna mimic what you do. If you get upset, they're gonna be upset. If you're calm about it and pragmatic about it, they're gonna follow you.
Rob, is this something they can pre-register at fca.org, regfox.com/LitchfieldPowerCamp? But can they just show up on Monday, or do they have to pre-register?
No, they can. We can register at the door on Monday morning at 8:30 between 8:15 and 8:30. We're going to start the camp at 9 o'clock, but everyone's welcome. We're not going to turn anybody away. We do target the ages of 5th graders through 8th graders, but everybody is welcome. There's no cost to the camp. Again, they're going to do two athletic sessions, and then we're going to feed them lunch, and then we do our huddle. And I also want to mention this. Some people think when they see the, or hear about it, it's a Christian camp. It's not a kumbaya camp. We coach these kids up. We've got some fantastic coaches, and we teach these kids to compete. You know, Jesus Christ was one of the greatest competitors of all time. We want them to emulate that. So we coach them up. We've got some fantastic coaches coming this week from the area. Brandon Engelman's coming from Nokomis. The great Fran Struble is coming from Carlinville. If you've ever met her or watched her work, unbelievable. So we coach them up, and then we give them our Christianity.
And, Rob, it's so awesome that these camps are around. And a lot of times, you know, we get so caught up in winning and losing, and we can lose sight of what actually is important in life, and that's being a good person.
Absolutely, and it all boils down to what kind of human being are you? I mean, most people aren't going to play sports, you know, past their high school years, but we also talk about how sports doesn't really teach character. It kind of reveals your character, and you can focus on that, and you can learn life lessons to kind of see who you are and maybe where you want to be. But it is. It's a life lesson, and sports is just a great part of it. So we really enjoy mixing the two, because they go together very well.
You mentioned there'll be two sports sessions, and it's for boys and girls, obviously. But they're going to be able to choose two sports that they can participate in. So for the boys, they got basketball, baseball, football, golf, soccer, track, and wrestling. The girls will be able to choose between volleyball, basketball, cheer dance, golf, soccer, softball, and track. So that is a wide range.
Yeah, we had to cancel the wrestling and football because of numbers.
Okay.
We had super low numbers. We only had a few kids sign up, so we're going to push those kids into some other sports. But, yeah, there's, like you mentioned, variety of sports to choose from. It'll be about an 80-minute session for each one with a break in between. So it's a full day of athletics. And, the kids can register at the door if they haven't already pre-registered. Love to have it. There's plenty of room for more.
And obviously, if this is the third year, the response the first 2 years must have been very good.
It was. We had about 90 the first year and 95 last year.
Awesome.
Right now, we've got about 75 registered. It's a little bit down this year, but for whatever reason. But we've got plenty of room for more. Payness had a camp for 3 years. Greenville's had a camp for a number of years. That's actually where I started in the FCA. I would go over there and work the Greenville camp. And then my wife, Patrice, and I felt that we should start one in this area and try to target some of the kids over in this part of the state, part of the area here, and it's been successful so far.
For people who might not be familiar with the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, talk about that organization as a whole.
It was started by in the late 50s, where these professional football players, you know, realized how impactful they were, how much people paid attention to them, so they wanted to start promoting Jesus through their sports. And that's kind of like the mission of FCA, through sports, be able to lead and teach people how to become leaders and promote that through athletics. And again, a lot of it starts with the coaches, how visible they are, and we have schools are encouraged to start huddles. We have a huddle at Litchfield at the middle school and at the high school, where the kids meet once a week and they're able to share their faith and do some different things. But the important thing is it's student-led. The coaches, we're there to kind of sponsor them, but the students are encouraged to take the leadership role. They provide, we provide information for them, but they actually run the huddles. They actually do the testimonials and do what have you. So we're trying to teach the kids to become leaders as well.
It'll be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the Litchfield Middle School from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. It is for 5th through 8th graders. You can just show up at the door if you like. And, Rob, I know if people have any questions about anything, they're more than free to contact you.
Absolutely. The phone number there, it's 556-3845. Don't hesitate to call. We'll answer any question that you might have.
I guess, Rob, while we got you here, how has your summer work gone for the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers this year?
I'll tell you what, it's been crazy year. We had four of our top six kids are hurt.
Oh boy!
They had mononucleosis, an ACL, an ankle tear. Maddie Diamond got her back disaligned. I don't know how you describe it. She was out, and then you've got kids on vacation, this and that. So it was kind of a tough summer for us. Our middle schoolers had a better summer than the high school kids did. But, hey, you know what? It is what it is. We're going to show up and get after it when we can come November.
Well, and those aren't exactly things that just get better quickly. I mean, mono lingers. Obviously, knee and back injuries are long-term issues.
Yeah, they are. And we're hoping these kids are going to be healthy so they can participate in their fall sports. But every team, every school deals with it, you know, time to time. They're going to have things happen to you. You just got to keep rolling. Some of the younger kids have some opportunities this summer to get better, and we've got a chance to look at them, but, just have to see what happens.
And, I mean, you have to make the most of whatever you're dealt, and you just said it right there. It's a chance for other kids to step up and prove themselves.
Yeah, and basically we only had one senior last year, so everybody's back. So it's kind of open auditions for starting roles and what have you. And some of the kids, you know, last year we put them in some bad positions we had to. We started three freshmen in the regional semifinal last year, and we didn't want to do that, but we're kind of forced to. So, like I said, hopefully they'll grow into it.
Rob Corso, thank you so much for joining us here this morning to talk about the FCA free sports camp coming up next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Litchfield. And let us know how that turns out, sir.
I will, and thank you very much for promoting us. We really appreciate that. Take care.
Absolutely. Have a good day, Rob. And that will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 9 to 1 at Litchfield Middle School for 5th through 8th graders. You can register, pre-register online at fca.regfox.com/Litchfield Power Camp. And as Rob said, you can just show up at the door and participate in the camp. They will not be turning anybody away. And that is a great, great event. And David, we always hear, you know, as people get older, it seems everyone kind of forgets what it was like to be a kid. And seems like every generation that ages starts disparaging the youngsters who, you know, are teenagers or preteen or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good kids out there.
There are
so many good kids. They do. And I feel like kids now are so much more aware of different things. They're willing to go out, help other people in a very public way, just because they're used to the social media and all that. You know, we've seen that with the local high school kids stepping up with Grace Herschelman, mm-hmm, and all the things that they've done for Grace and INAD research. And so anytime I hear older people or flat out old people despair, the kids today, shut up.
Yeah, well,
We'll be those people too someday.
I hope I'm never that guy. I'm a traditionalist, David, but not in that regard.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll
someday.
See.
You're still not on Facebook, so.
I'll never be on Facebook. Yeah. My goal is to be the last person born in the 1980s not on Facebook.
So, well, okay. Never so you're never going to join it?
I don't plan on it. Okay. I don't see any reason. And after this last year, I really don't plan on it.
No. No. Unless you're trying to connect with, you know, people you went to school with years ago who you haven't been in connection with.
That's the benefit.
That is.
But the people who are posting about the type of pizza they're having for supper, the movie they watched.
Foodies?
Foodies. Who cares? What does it matter?
Yeah. That's an Instagram
thing. You ate,
thing.
I eat, everybody eats.
Look at this food. Thanks. I can't eat it, so
right.
I don't need to see it.
It does nothing for me.
Yeah. Recipes are good, though, if they post recipes and you want to look those up. Because I have tried some of those. Like videos while they post recipes and stuff. I was like, oh, that looks good. Never ends up working out the way I want it.
It's like everything else. You can't just deal in extremes. You always, no matter what we're talking about, you got to find that middle ground.
Yeah.
You got to live in the middle.
This is true.
Get
they're
off
like,
the edges, get in the middle.
Like the photographs of food, the professional photographs of food, those are like fake and stuff. Like it's real food, but it's like special, specially done and stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's like
right.
It never looks like this.
What happened? It didn't look this way.
Yeah.
So hopefully they will have a very good turnout for the FCA Sports Camp. Again, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Litchfield Middle School for 5th through 8th graders. You can register online at fca.regfox.com/Litchfield Power Camp, or you can call Rob Corso at 217-556-3845. We need another break on Sports Saturday. We're back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, thanks, David. And, you know, you went on vacation, and the Cardinals didn't get any better.
They usually get worse when I go on vacation.
Well, they
I went on my honeymoon 5 years ago, and they lost 7 in a row.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So when I leave, they usually do not play well.
It has been a rough year for the Cardinals. They're now just 2 games over 500. We're going to talk about the debacle that was the embarrassment 2 nights ago. But, David, I want to talk about last night's game.
Yeah.
Because, man, what an interesting game it was. The Cardinals are only able to get 3 hits and score 1 run, and they totally waste a dominating performance from Jack Flaherty. Strikes out 13, took a no-hitter into the 7th inning before he gave up that home run to Jesus Aguilar, who eventually won the game with the home run in the 9th, but to have a pitching performance like that and lose after the game they had the night before, my goodness, that can just be crushing.
Oh, absolutely. And you talked about Thursday's game was an embarrassment in its own right. Last night was pretty embarrassing, too. To have a no-hitter, have your pitcher have a no-hitter going into the 7th inning, and you still lose the game. That's embarrassing.
Type of embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a different type of embarrassing, but come on. I mean, the Brewers did only get 3 hits as well. There were 6 hits combined in the ballgame last night.
But 2 of the Brewers left the park.
That's right. Well, 1 player.
Right, but 2 of the hits.
Yes.
So, I mean, the Cardinals are such a frustrating team because the offense is just no good. You got to call a spade a spade. The offense stinks.
It was supposed to be one of their strong points.
That's what they told us. And Marcell Ozuna was supposed to be a Gold Glove defender, too, allegedly.
What happened?
Allegedly.
There? What happened Thursday?
I don't know.
I'll clock that up to a fluke play.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I mean, my goodness. That might be one of the most embarrassing plays of the baseball season.
I'd have to go back and watch the play again. I don't know. But just based on the one clip that I saw and what I can assume, he was going back for the ball, thought it was going to go over the wall. So he looks for the wall, looking for the fence, scales it before looking back again. That would be my guess.
Awkward.
Yeah. And hits off the bottom of the wall.
Ugh. So bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
They are not. Well, it was said throughout the St. Louis media constantly yesterday morning and afternoon. Thursday's game was the perfect combination and perfect summary of what their team is. Yeah. I mean, they can't hit the ball. Their pitching has not been great. I mean, starting pitching has been pretty good largely, but it's starting to falter. The bullpen
only carry
it
for so long, starting pitching.
Right. The defense is terrible, and the base running is terrible as well. So,
well, I mean, the starting pitching, once they realize and know, we basically have to put up a shutout to win the game, eventually that breaks a starting staff.
Oh, yeah. That's essentially what happened. It didn't break them in 2015, per se, because they had historic starting pitching. But for the longest time, the thought was you can't go anywhere like this. If you're going to, you know, if your pitching's great, great. But if you're not scoring runs, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And it caught up to them in the postseason.
Now Michael Wacha is hurt with a strained oblique. We know the Cardinals will rush him back.
They say it's only going to be a two-week injury.
Oh,
so
it's only a two-week
injury. That's a mistake.
I have no faith in trusting the Cardinals.
I've never known a man to come or a person to come back from a strained oblique in 2 weeks.
No, and
I've had the injury.
Right, so Wacha is out. They will rush him back because that's what they do. They rushed Carlos Martinez back, and since they've done that, he's been bad. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in the National League last year, was arguably the best pitcher in the National League this year before he got hurt, and I don't understand why the Cardinals seem to think that rehab start is a dirty thing. Like, I just don't get it. Martinez was quoted after they rushed him back that he was worried about hurting himself in his first outing. He said the same thing after his second start. What is the point? They did it with Greg Holland. He had no spring training. They rushed him right to the big leagues. He was a dumpster fire. They had to send him to AAA, and now he finally looks good. He was filthy in Philadelphia when he was actually prepared to pitch. I just cannot understand why, time after time, they rush these players back.
With Martinez, they panicked. That's all there is to it, because Martinez made his rehab start, I believe, right after Alex Reyes went down.
And his rehab start was not good.
No, it was not. He gave up two home runs, walked like four and five innings, something like that.
Oh, so, he's ready to go.
Yeah, and it was at Springfield.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they rushed him back, and it was a panic move, because they thought, you know, hey, Alex Reyes just went down, so we need a starter, and sure enough, it's not good. And it's in his head now. I mean, it's something that probably, I don't know that he'll be trustworthy to be consistent for the rest of the season, because it's mental now, because he is noticeably taking stuff off, like not going max effort.
Right, he's not the same pitcher.
No,
and it just makes you wonder, like you said, they probably did panic. It probably was a panic move, but, man, that has backfired in a big way. And I don't know about you, David, but I was glad when Flaherty gave up a hit last night, because he was at 100 pitches, and if he has a no-hitter, you just know Matheny would have let him throw 130, 140 pitches to get that no-no.
Well, I don't know. I feel like 120 was going to be the cap, because 120 is his career high. So if he were...
For a normal manager, yes. For Little League Mike, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, combined no-hitters are more common now. I mean, you see it a lot more. Maybe like 5 years ago it would have been taboo, but you see a lot more combined no-hitters now. Like, managers aren't as hesitant to take starting pitchers out when the pitch count is up.
If he was at, and this is all just speculation because it doesn't matter, but if he was at 120 pitches through eight innings, I don't understand and envision a circumstance where Matheny's taking him out.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Truthfully, I was surprised they let him finish the inning after he gave up the home run, because he was at 101 pitches. I thought, okay, just go ahead and take him out now.
But he was dominating.
Well, he was dominating, and that's the thing. Like, even afterward, he still looked good. So it was because they had Hicks ready. They had Hicks warming up just in case things went wrong. He gave up the home run, and then after that he got the next two batters out. So, yeah,
I was texting,
we'll never know.
No, we'll never know. I was texting with a friend of mine who's a Cubs fan last night during that game. He was watching it as well, and I made that comment about I'm kind of glad that he lost a no-hitter so he wouldn't have to throw 130 pitches. And he pointed out to me that last week was the anniversary when Nolan Ryan threw 295 pitches in 13 innings and struck out 18.
Oh, my gosh.
And as he said, man, times have changed.
Boy, 295 pitches?
Yeah.
Good grief.
Different time.
Oh, yeah.
Different time.
Well, Dusty Baker must have been the manager. He doesn't believe in pitch counts.
Oh, boy. But Flaherty looks like...
Looks like an ace.
Oh, my goodness.
From every aspect of it.
Every time he goes out.
From the ability to pitch and the mindset, he looks like a complete ace. I mean,
and so much of being an ace, David, is that mindset. We've talked about this before. There's a difference between being a number one starter and being an ace.
Yeah.
Like, I think Carlos Martinez is a number one starter, but he's a little erratic to be the ace.
He could have been, but I think the Cardinals whipped his mentality out of him. Like they've tried so much to whip guys' emotions out of players because they didn't do it completely with Lance Lynn, but they did the same thing with Lance Lynn. Like Lance Lynn showed a lot of emotion his first few years in the big leagues, and then they kind of whipped it out of him. Carlos Martinez was the same way. I reference it often. That start he made against the Colorado Rockies a few years ago was not a good start. Was frustrated. Beamed DJ LeMahieu. Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that, but he was frustrated and he wasn't backing down from it. I liked that. It showed me, okay, you're not going to mess with me. It was a little Bob Gibson in him.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Bob Gibson is still to this day considered the most feared pitcher in the history of baseball. You did not dig into the box.
Right.
If he saw you digging into the box, he was going to hit you just because you had the audacity to dig into the box and think you could hit him.
They would have said that today's Cardinals brass and clubhouse management would have said or would have hated Bob Gibson. They would have tried
He's probably a strong one, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, they wouldn't have liked his style. Right, they would have tried to control the attitude, keep him, well-tempered, and I don't know that he would have made it.
Thank goodness we didn't have to worry about that.
And that's true. Of course, I didn't get to see Bob Gibson pitch, so it doesn't really matter.
We watched the highlights.
I've seen highlights, yeah.
How many?
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No, he was awesome.
Just like I didn't get to see Stan Musial hit. I've seen highlights, but it's not the same.
You're not wrong.
Stan Musial's World Series wins? I don't think they were televised, were they? Or maybe the World Series wins were, but those seasons nobody really got to see because I don't think the Cardinals were on TV in the regular season back in the 40s, were they? I don't know.
No.
Probably not.
No. And I don't even know when TV got invented, to tell you the truth.
I don't either.
It was all radio.
It's true.
All radio.
It's true.
That Cardinal Radio Network.
That's right.
Booming!
And you can hear them today. I don't have it in front of me. It's
215.
215. Oh, that's right. I do have it in front of me. 215 at Milwaukee on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And again tomorrow at 12:15 on the same stations.
They've dropped the first two of the series, so.
What's going to happen for the rest of the series?
I mean, who knows?
I think they'll get a game. I had them losing 3 of 4 to the Brewers this weekend.
Well, you had them getting swept, David.
No, to the Indians. I had them winning one. Because if it was a 3-game series, yeah, I could see them getting swept. I have them winning one game against the Brewers. I'll give them that.
If they manage to get swept, something has to change, right?
You would think so, but they keep moving the goalposts, to say. I mean, I asked you this off the air yesterday. Where's rock bottom? They keep finding new lows.
It's a fair question, and I mean, I really don't know. If the last two nights aren't rock bottom, I don't want to see rock bottom.
Well, there was the game against Miami as well, against San Diego. They've had a lot of rock bottoms this year, and they just keep finding ways to dig the holes deeper.
Boring themselves deeper.
Yeah. I mean, where's the end?
I don't know.
They're going to get... I've told you this many times off the air. This series starting Monday against Cleveland, they are going to get embarrassed because historically they have played Cleveland poorly.
Cleveland's trucking people right now.
Right. They've never won a series against Cleveveland. Cleveland's playing well. And by the way,
never won a series.
Never? No.
Ever?
No.
In their history.
I don't believe so.
Wow.
And they do face Corey Kluber on Tuesday.
That's not good.
That is not good. Remember the last time they faced Corey Kluber?
19 strikeouts
or something like that.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Not good. We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. I've been thinking about this. I think I have pinpointed when it all changed for the Cardinals. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Again, Cardinals baseball for you on the Tally Broadcasting Stations today as the Cardinals continue their series at Milwaukee. We'll have coverage for you live at 2:15 on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And Tim teased it before the break. He knows when the turning point was for this franchise.
Well, this is just my opinion, but let's go back to the summer of 2015, Cards-Cubs at Wrigley Field. Now, if you remember back in 2015, the Cardinals had that historically great starting pitching. They ended up winning 100 games that year.
Was that a four-game series, or was that after that? Because there was a four-game series around then. Were they...
I don't remember that.
Was that the umpire series, or was that a different series? Like where the umpire kind of screwed the Cardinals out of two games?
It might have been that series.
Addison Russell's magic foul ball.
It could have been.
Okay.
But the game I'm thinking about is the game where Matt Holliday got hit in the head. Now, it was not.
I don't think it was the same series.
It was not intentional when he got hit in the head, but he got hit in the head nonetheless. So the Cardinals did what you're supposed to do. They retaliated by hitting the Cubs' best player at the time, Anthony Rizzo, and they did it in a professional way. They hit him. I think it was like in the knee or the thigh or the shin. It was the lower part of his body.
I think you need to say Matt Belisle did, because I'm not sure it came down from the Cardinals.
That's fair.
Matt Belisle did what
but
he was
nonetheless,
doing.
Rizzo was hit. And remember, at this time, the Cubs, this was the first year of the resurgence. They had been afterthoughts and terrible. We all know the history of the Cubs before that year. So after the game, Joe Maddon called Mike Matheny, Tony Soprano, basically blew him up, saying that they were gangsters for hitting Rizzo. It was ridiculous, when in reality, they did what any major league team would do. When your best player at the time, who was Matt Holliday, gets hit in the head, I don't care if it's intentional, not intentional, you have to retaliate. You have to. And they did. Now, after Maddon said what he said, the gangster comment, the Soprano comment, which, pretty good line, by the way. What did Mike Matheny do? Cowered in the corner and wet himself. Because the very next game, the next day after those comments, the Cubs hit three Cardinals.
Yep.
Three! How many did the Cardinals hit that day?
None.
The big squadouche. They did nothing. They did nothing. Because Little League Mike doesn't know what he is doing. And in my opinion, from that day forward, everything changed. At that point, Joe Maddon and the Cubs realized, we got these guys. They're soft. They're scared. These are not the Tony La Russa Cardinals. When La Russa was the manager, he took care of his players. He protected his players, and he did what was necessary. Beanball wars are not fun, they're not pretty. Sometimes they are necessary. And that is a situation where it was necessary for the Cardinals to go tit for tat and get in a beanball war. Your best player got hit in the head the day before. The opposing manager calls you a gangster, comes out, hits three of your players blatantly on purpose, and you do nothing. Yeah. You did nothing. And in my mind, as I think about it now, that changed everything. The Cubs beat them in the playoffs that year, won the World Series the following year, and the Cardinals have been terrible by their standards ever since. I think that really, it changed the mindset and the mentality of the Cubs specifically. I bet they had a good laugh at Little Mikey's expense after that game. They were probably shocked that he did not do anything. How do you not retaliate in that spot? Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be the start of the Cardinals-Cubs, or I guess the restart of the Cardinals-Cubs rivalry. It was supposed to be, an all-out. It went from a friendly rivalry to it was supposed to be, hatred again. And it's been one-sided.
Ever since that day.
Yeah. And there's now this last series withstanding, you're starting to see the Cardinals maybe play up a little bit against the Cubs, because last year they just got dominated in all aspects, last year and in 2016. But this year, through the first five games, they were starting to, play evenly matched, and then this last series happened.
So much of big league baseball is mentality.
Yep.
It really is. And that's how La Russa ran his operation when he was in Oakland. It's certainly how he ran it when he was in St. Louis. If he even perceived you were getting too close to Albert, he was going to hit two of your guys. Not one.
Right.
He's going to hit two. And he always did it professionally. If any of his pitchers ever threw one up around a guy's head, he lost it. He always got called a headhunter. Not true. Not true. He took care of business old school ways, but he never, never threw at people's heads.
Yeah, he chewed out Brad Thompson for going high.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, and rightfully so. But the Cardinals hit Rizzo in the professional way it's supposed to be done. Maddon was protecting his players, which is what you're supposed to do as the manager of the club, and Joe Maddon did the next day what he should have done. He retaliated, sent a message, and the Cardinals backed down.
Well,
they backed down. That should have been an all-out brawl that day at Wrigley Field. And that's how big league baseball has been played for a century. It's how, on some levels, it is still played today when there is a blatant attack on your player, which is what happened that day in Wrigley Field. You have to respond. But the Little League manager did not. Because in Little League Baseball, you don't
right.
do that. In Big League Baseball, that's exactly what has to be done.
There have been multiple occasions where, and the Cardinals have been kind of called out or been slighted, I guess, to say, in the media by opposing teams, and they've done nothing. Like, it hasn't motivated. Mike Matheny lacks the ability to motivate his ball club. Remember back in, of course you remember, back in 2011 when Nigel Morgan referred to Albert Pujols as Alberta.
Yeah.
And called out Chris Carpenter. Yeah, they made a run.
Won the World Series.
Yeah. Ben Zobrist last year, the year before, basically said the Pirates were the biggest threat to the Cubs in the division, not the Cardinals. And you know, Ben Zobrist has, for like two straight years, disrespected the Cardinals, and they've done nothing. Because Mike Matheny doesn't like offending anybody.
And it's so true. I mean, the man has been on the job for 7 years, and he's honestly worse today than he was the first year on the job when he had no experience. But I really do believe that that day at Wrigley Field has changed the entire course of the Cardinals. It's changed the Cards-Cubs rivalry. He did nothing. Mm-hmm. He did nothing. And the thing is, whether he called it or Belial did it on his own, that is the move. That is the move.
Right.
When one of your players gets hit in the head and you hit their best player in the leg, that's how big league baseball works. And for them to not respond the next day when Cardinal after Cardinal is getting hit, when it's clearly intentional by what Madden had said the day before, and you do nothing, the tone is set from that point forward.
I'm not sure what is worse, Belial doing it on his own or Matheny ordering Belial to do it. Belial does it, and then Matheny just backing down.
However transpired, Matheny backing down is the worst part of the whole thing. You have to respond. You have to. No one likes bench-clearing fights. Think about the reason Yachty has ascended to the status that he is in St. Louis, even before Albert left, after that brawl in Cincinnati, when Molina stood up to Brandon Phillips, when Phillips called him the bad word, and then tried to tap his shin guard the next day like nothing happened, Yachty had none of it. He got in his face, and it started a nasty brawl, and it was a bad fight. Jason LaRue got kicked in the head, ended his career. It was bad. It was not good. But unfortunately, it's what had to be done.
Right.
Yachty said, no, man. You're not going to say that about me and my teammates, and then come up here and act like we're buddy-buddy. It ain't going to fly that way. And because of that day, Yadier Molina is now in Cardinal lore. He's in Cardinal lore. He's going to be a Hall of Famer for his play on the field. But that day right there, in a lot of ways, defines what the La Russa era was about, defines what Yadier Molina has been about. We're going to play hard, and if you disrespect us, we are going to fight back.
Yeah.
And that day at Wrigley Field, the tide turned.
No, that's exactly right. It also helped that Molina hit a grand slam in that very game.
That was happening. Yes, it did.
Took his time around the bases.
Yeah, he did. And did Brandon Phillips' little helmet tap when he got to second base,
helmet tap
too.
And the running sideways, too.
Yeah.
I hate the running sideways. I don't like it. I think it looks stupid.
Right. But that day, it had a good point.
Yeah, it did. But, no, you're absolutely right. They have completely...
They're soft.
They are soft. And we constantly hear every year about how great the Cardinals opening day experience is and you know how great the franchise is. They're overcompensating at this point because they're so disrespected.
The franchise is great, and that's why it's so frustrating to see what has happened. They have just fallen off the cliff. The defense is bad, the base running is bad, the offense is non-existent. But hey, other than that, they're just fine. But I was thinking about that here, and it just dawned on me. In my opinion, that is when everything changed in the Cards-Cubs rivalry, and it sums up what has happened to the Cardinals the last few years. They have not been able to stand up for themselves when they are in the right. They were in the right in that spot. It's not like they would have gotten blasted for being out of line or out of control or headhunters. It is what needed to be done, and it's not what happened, unfortunately, and we've seen what has happened since that fateful day at Wrigley Field. So There you have it. Cards, Brewers today in Milwaukee. We'll have live coverage coming up 2:15 this afternoon on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Want to thank Rob Corso for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. That FCA Sports Power Camp coming up Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Litchfield Middle School. It'll be from 9 until 1 for 5th through 8th graders, and hopefully that'll be well attended. You can pre-register online, fca.regfox.com/Litchfield Power Camp. Have a great sporting weekend, everybody. For David, I, and Tim, Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.